Kirk, what's going on, man?
Hey, Greg, how are we doing?
Doing great. You ready to talk some fantasy football?
Yes, I am.
All right. Hey, so this is our first show of the week, so we're going to talk about week two in review. We're going to talk about our predictions and who were the studs and who were the guys who killed your team this week. So before we do that, Kirk, is there any news we need to hit on? I guess there is, huh? I guess there's been a lot since we last talked, right? Josh Gordon.
There was a trade.
There was a trade. Let's talk about it.
That sends Josh Gordon to the New England Patriots for a fifth round. I guess you could call it a conditional fifth round pick if he plays 10 games or something like that. The Browns will get a fifth round pick. If he doesn't, then I guess they either don't or something like that. So
they get a seventh or something like that.
Yeah. So they're getting something out of somebody that they really have no faith in anymore.
Let me ask you this. If there were eight to ten teams interested in Josh Gordon, what were those other teams offering that, you know, to where the Patriots and a fifth round pick was the best thing they got? I just have a hard time believing that was the best offer they got for Josh Gordon.
Well, yeah, and I wonder if the other ones were just flat out saying sixth and seventh, and that was it. Or maybe there's some information that Cleveland was divulging them, stating that he was, you know, possibly going to go off the deep end. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why the fifth would be the best. I would think a third round pick for even a risky player like him would probably be the highest amount I would give up.
Well, the thing that makes me question, I mean, if they were that willing to give him up, it seemed like a suspension would be imminent, but I don't know. It's just a weird situation all around. So
culture change. I mean, the one thing I've noticed being a fan is that, I mean, anything that he said he's going to do, he's basically done in some way, shape or form. And it wasn't so much of the return to his old ways. It was, he got a hamstring injury doing a promotional shoot that was not football related. He was late. I think those were the things that ultimately said, yeah, maybe he's fallen off, but we just can't keep supporting this. He's not taking it seriously. It's one thing if he has an addiction that he can't get away from, but it's another thing if he's lazy and getting hurt and being reckless. So I think that ultimately was it for John Dorsey.
All right. Well, I've got to stop you there before you start taking over the whole show with Browns news. So let's talk about what else. Le'Veon Bell. His holdout continues. Antonio Brown misses practice on he's away from the team on Tuesday. Just kind of a weird situation there. Who knows what to make of it, but he's back to practice. Seems like all is good, but there's still no Le'Veon Bell. You got to roll with James Conner.
And that's, you got to be happy about that if you have James Conner, because he's good. So
he's good. Yep. He's continuing to produce. We'll talk about him a little bit later. So, all right.
I'm not going to talk about him. I don't know what you're talking about. You must be talking about him. I'm not talking about him.
He's a stud. An absolute stud. All right. One of our hometown boys. So, perfect. All right. What else? Anything else? Any other news you want to get to?
Jarvis Landry may or may not play tomorrow.
That is big news, especially for Thursday night games. If you have him, make sure, you know, Thursday night games, make sure he's in your wide receiver slot. Do not keep him in your flex slot, because if he gets hurt, that throws you off. So, that's big news. I have a feeling he'll play. I don't remember him. He didn't miss any time in the game. So, I feel like he'll be all right.
Yeah, and he had that speech regarding injuries in the at Hard Knocks. So, I would
contagious.
Pretty hypocritical if he doesn't play.
Contagious, bro.
Yeah.
F word. It's contagious. F word. Yeah. All right. You ready to do this, dude?
Yes. Well, not really. Kind of disappointing.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of humble pie going over some of our predictions for the week. But, hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
That is why we that's why they play the game, I guess.
That's right.
For our fantasy predictions.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, so let's start by talking about the quarterbacks. Oh, actually, you know what? Before we do that, let's review how we did, because I know everybody's wondering about that.
Right.
I'll start with the Dynasty League. I got another win over Steve. I won 131-104, so I'm now 2-0 in that league. The things that have me worried right now is my top two receivers are Jarvis Landry and Larry Fitzgerald, both of them very banged up, and I also have Royce Freeman sitting in one of my flex positions there. So I'm 2-0. I'm sitting pretty, but I do not feel great about my team right now. I like my receiver depth, but, man, am I worried about it. How'd you do in the Dynasty League?
I lost on the Monday night game. It came down to where me and Ryan were neck and neck. I really just had to outscore him, his one player, which was Tyre Lockett, and I had Jordan Howard. I just had to outscore him by like 3 or 4 points, and I would have won, which for most of the game was looking pretty good until Tyre Lockett, you know, caught a couple balls in the touchdown. And later in the game, Jordan Howard, stud running back, they were throwing the ball with a lead rather than running the ball. So that was kind of ripped my heart out there. So I'm 1-1. My issues are my running backs. I have three mediocre running backs. That is Jordan Howard, a banged up Jay Ajayi, and Carlos Hyde, who scores touchdowns, but that's really it. So I have zero depth behind them at running back. So I'm let's put it this way. Mark Ingram couldn't come to an end fast enough, because I need somebody else to fill in a role, or else I'm just going to be riding with two running backs and praying to God.
Gotcha. All right, keeper league, I lost to Nuke by 13. If I play Sammy Watkins over Kenny Stills, I win that game. That's a league where I do have Le'Veon Bell, so my running backs are pretty bad at this point. So I'm 1-1. A win really would have helped me out there. So how'd you do in the keeper league?
Well, I am 0-2. I lost. I scored 168 points, which was, I think, 20-some points higher than anybody other than the guy I played, who scored 196. I quickly did an optimal lineup after the Monday night game, and there was no way I was going to win.
Yeah.
Not even with the lineup he played. His maximum was 202, but so he basically got almost all the amount of points he could have gotten in the week, and I never would have got him. I would have got like 192.
Yeah, so, you're scoring points. That's still good for playoff consideration later in the year. So
But,
and then finally, our shared team from the PCS league, we won. So we are 2-0 in that league. We decided to go with Alex Smith over Russell Wilson, and that didn't – I mean, Russell Wilson was better by a point. That didn't really help us out, but still a strong showing for us, and this is foreign territory for us to be on a fast start in that league.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, man. You ready to talk about quarterbacks?
Yes.
So, first of all, holy cow. Let's talk about quarterbacks this week. We had the one I'm looking at right now is 4-point touchdown leagues. We had 7 quarterbacks who scored over 30 points, two of which who were over 40 points. Quarterbacks blew up this week. Including the guy who I picked as my stud, which was Big Ben. He was the number one overall scoring quarterbacks. He had almost 45 points in 4-point touchdown leagues. If you do 6-point touchdown leagues, then Patrick Mahomes was the number one scorer. But holy cow, man. Ben, Mahomes, Cousins, Bortles, Fitzpatrick, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton all blew up. Great week for quarterbacks.
Yeah. I picked Philip Rivers. Which 256 and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions is
that's a good game,
but you know, it really pales in comparison to the rest of them. So I don't know if that's a win or not. I think it's a loss.
Yeah. I think 256 and 3 touchdowns, that's a great pick there. I mean, you can't help but, you know, you can't help that all these other quarterbacks are going to blow up. So Rivers still ended up with, you know, 31 points and a 6-point touchdown. Like, that's a great game. Yeah. My sleeper or the guy I take a flyer on was Alex Smith, and that I have to chalk up as a dud. He only scored, what was it, you know, 15 points or so.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, for him. And then my the other one who I kind of picked as a dud or somebody to kind of pump your brakes on was Tom Brady, because he was playing that Jacksonville defense. And again, I feel good about that. He did have 234 and he had two late touchdowns. You know, he had 16 points in 4-point leagues, or 22 and 6 points. So I feel like that was a good call. I mean, he finished, goodness, as like the quarterback 16 or something like that. So, or yeah, actually even worse than that. So I feel good about that pick. He's the Alex Smith.
He couldn't even get over top of his backup quarterback from last year.
Yeah, what a loser.
Yeah. My flyer was Case Keenum, and he was, you know, 15-48. I mean, I guess if I'm wrong and he scores 15 points, it's fine, but he did not have a good game. And then my beware, I had a hard time deciding between these two, and they both proved me wrong. Ryan Fitzpatrick went over 40 yards again. And Matt Ryan, from a quarterback standpoint, you know, 272, two TDs and an interception, but he had two rushing touchdowns, which really threw him up over the top there. So I'm okay with that pick.
Right.
Two touchdowns. So
yeah, you can't account for that. So, okay. Very good. So quarterbacks who were bad, who was bad? You know, Dak was bad again, 160 yards. I mean, luckily he always has some rushing yards that kind of saves him. Eli was bad again. Andrew Luck was bad. And Case Keenum, not very good either. So those were some of the poopers.
Dak Prescott was, if you even have him on your team still, he's struggling.
Yeah, that I tell you, that team is just bad. That whole offense, and you know, so is Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, but like Russell Wilson is just a little bit more talented than Dak, that he seems to make up for it a little bit more. But
yeah, and not to mention, you know, I don't think Dez Bryant would want to go back to that team right now. I think he's very smart in saying, you know, and staying away altogether, because it just looks like a dumpster fire at the wide receiver position.
Yep. Rodgers only one touchdown. He was the 20th ranked quarterback for the week. So kind of interesting there. So again, that is why we do not pay up for running backs.
Right.
All right.
You mean quarterbacks?
That is what I said.
Yep.
All right. Moving on to running backs. This, again, a crazy week for running backs. And this is the point. Like, if this is what the NFL is going to become, then I will quit watching. You have Saquon Barkley, 14 receptions. Christian McCaffrey, 14 receptions. Chris Thompson, 13 receptions. Theo Riddick, 9 receptions. I didn't watch the other game. I did watch the Giants game, and it was just garbage time, just dumping to him. You know, we talk about the complexity of these NFL offenses. It looked like flag football or backyard football. It was just junk, and I hope this is not what the league is becoming. It's just a dump off to your running back and hope he makes somebody miss. It's kind of like almost what the NBA has turned into. So,
right.
I mean, it's great for fantasy, but just sucks for watching the games.
You know, you would and with my lack of playing experience, this statement may sound dumb to you, but I would think with the ability of the linebackers to be as athletic as they proclaim to be, they're a little bit smaller and just more athletic, I would think they would be able to cover a running back in this way a lot easier than in the past. I mean, but they don't seem to be, no one seems to be caring about that running back releasing out at all. What do you think is the cause of them being such an easy option for the quarterback?
Well, I think, you know, when you, especially the ones you look at, I mean, McCaffrey, Barkley, and Thompson, they were all those teams were losing and losing by fairly large margins. So that was not the threat. It's kind of like, hey, we'll let their fourth best scorer take, you know, 20 shots a game. That's not what's going to kill them. So, you know, they'll give the dink and dunk. They're just not wanting to give up the big play, the deep ball. And that's why you see that, you know, the receivers are covered so well. So they're just dumping it off. And they're giving them, you know, whatever, 5-6 yards.
So if the game is tighter, you're saying that that could change the way that happens.
I think if you're seeing more pressure on the quarterback, you know, I think you're not seeing as many of these running back routes. I think the quarterbacks are just going through their progressions and then dumping it off to the running back. So,
well, I mean, I think that's fantastic. I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, you have games where you say, well, I think it's going to be a blowout, and I have a running back on my team that catches balls.
I think the thing you need to look at is, like, you know, really the big story this week is right now Saquon Barkley, he's going to get 14 catches when their team's getting blown out, where David Johnson, who just was totally disappeared. They were getting killed as well, and, you know, he's not getting the looks like he should. So that's where it really matters fantasy wise. But let's get into our picks. So my stud was Zeke. He ended up, I think, as the number 7 running back of the week for almost 20 points. My flyer was James White, and he ended up with almost 16 points, which I feel good about that pick too. Plugged him into one of my lineups and was very satisfied with what I got there. My beware was Carlos Hyde. And like you said, all he does is score touchdowns, apparently. If he doesn't have a touchdown, he has a 6-point game. But with that touchdown, he kind of saved it and was actually okay. So he had 12 points in the PPR league. So you can't be disappointed with that. So I got to chalk that one up as a loss. So who did you have?
Well, I had two that I was fighting over, and I'm going to claim Tevin Coleman as the one I was going with.
Yeah.
And on the stat sheet and on a typical week, 107 yards rushing for a normally a backup, you know, or a second running back is pretty darn good. So I felt good about that. He didn't score and he didn't have a whole lot of yards receiving, but 100 yard day, 18.5 points. I think that was a pretty good prediction. Chris Thompson was one of those 13 reception guys. He was the other guy I was kind of high on because I thought Alex Smith was going to play well. He went over 22 points, so I feel good about that. My flyer, I guess in a deeper league it was good. It was Austin Eckler. He almost got 13 points. He had 77 yards rushing and a few receptions, so not bad.
I think that's a great pick. If your flex guy's getting 13, 14 points, that's great.
Right, and then my beware was a toss-up between Jamal Williams and Isaiah Crowell, and I'm trying to find those guys.
Jamal Williams had 10 points. Crowell, he was very bad.
Okay, I was on the list there.
Yeah, 6 points or less, actually. So
that's a good thing when I can't find him at the top of the list. That's one.
That's right. All right, hey, so the studs of the week were, you know, really it was Gordon and Gurley. They both had 3 touchdowns each. Not the rushing yards you hope for, but hey, if you get 3 touchdowns, who cares? The surprise of the week was Matt Breida, 138 yards rushing. He did have a 60 plus yard rushing touchdown, so that catapults him. He's grossly outplaying Alfred Morris for that backfield. He's somebody I picked up in one league. He just, you know, guys with that small frame just kind of give me worry, but willing to take a chance on him. If you can find a starting running back in the week 2 waivers, then that's a great thing.
And he's got a great offensive coordinator.
Yes, he does. Really, as far as poopers, David Johnson, what are you doing? If you're a David Johnson owner, I mean, he had 6 points last game. His first game he saved with a touchdown. What are you doing with him right now?
I'm holding steady on him. Okay. I think there's some, you know, he didn't play last year a lot, and I think that makes a difference to him, not to mention the team doing very well.
And that's the big thing, is the team's not doing very well, and I don't think there's any improvement on the horizon here with the team.
Yeah, there could be a change at quarterback that could, you know, liven it up. I think that may make a difference, but I think the coach needs to get his – act together and say, all right, well, we just need to just give the guys that are good the ball.
And he has said that this week, so hopefully he'll do better.
Yeah, it sounds pretty silly to say that. Give the guys that are good the ball, but
you got to love when the coaches say, "Man, if, you know, we need to get him the ball more." Well, you have some influence on that.
Yeah, so. you know who to talk to.
Yes, yeah, I'm convinced you can make that happen. Very good.
Out there, guys, just got out of hand.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to receivers. This is kind of unusual. The top two receivers for the week are on the same team. Both Minnesota Vikings, Diggs and Thielen. All year leading up to this to the season, we've been wondering who's going to be the guy there. Well, it looks like there's room for both of them to excel. Juju and Michael Thomas, huge weeks again. Will Fuller had a great week. It's good to see him in his first action back. So. But my picks for receiver did not work out very well. My stud was Jarvis Landry, and he was average at best, right. Scoring about 12 points. My flyer was Kenny Stills, and he was an absolute 3 points. That was a game script thing. Miami just, they didn't have to pass the ball, and they certainly didn't have to pass it deep to win their game. And then finally, I picked as my dud, I picked Larry Fitzgerald, and he only had 5 points, so I got to chalk that up as a win. And he, although he did get a little bit banged up, but so I guess I'm 1 for 3 out of the receivers.
Yeah, I feel good. I mean, I was having a hard time between Landry and Juju, but I had Juju number one. He did do well. He was the third best, so I felt perfect about that. Where are we? My flyer was Quincy Inunwemba, and he had a 92-yard day with 7 receptions, so he was 16.2 points. So I like that as a flyer pick. He may make an appearance in another episode coming up.
Oh boy!
Yeah, he looks like a tight end. So guess how that's going to apply to Thursday Night Football. Randall Cobb was my buyer beware. And once again, I'm having a hard time finding him. I don't think he did very well. Did he even play?
He did play. You know, that was the thing. Rodgers didn't have that great of a game. So he only had the one touchdown. But yeah, no, Randall Cobb crapped the bed. He only had 4 catches for 30 yards. So,
man, alive. Man, I'm right on the money there.
You are on the money. So. Any receivers stick out to you as far as their performances? I'll tell you that there were a couple for me. The one is Keelan Cole. Looks like he may have that number one job locked up there.
What a catch! What a catch!
Oh yeah, his one handed catch was insane.
I've never seen anything quite like that. I mean, I know what's his nuts. Beckham made a great catch, but he didn't have to maneuver the ball around the head of a player. It was like what you do to a little kid when you're trying to screw with them, and you know, I'd never seen anything like that. I thought that was fantastic.
The other thing is somebody who I was not high on coming into this year is Brandon Cooks, and you know, he did what he does, a huge 160-yard game. If he can have that target share, he had 9 targets. That's something that would be very welcome. And then finally. The last one, actually, there's 2 players I want to talk about. Nelson Agholor, I think, is just showing that he's a good player, and he's, I mean, 12 targets again.
Right.
Be curious to see what happens when Alshon comes back. And then the one, take it with a grain of salt because it was against the Steelers, awful defense, but Sammy Watkins having a 100-yard game. Mm-hmm. Really curious to see how involved he would be, but he was just very efficient on 7 targets. He had 6 catches for 100, but also had a couple rushes too, so. Yeah. Those were some players that stuck out to me.
Where I'm people that I kind of keep my eye on, Will Fuller. I like Will Fuller, and mm-hmm. he's starting to take flight again. 8 for 113 and touchdown. Basically matched, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. So it's another offense to where possibly could sustain 200-yard receivers. It was right there. Amari Cooper, again, here's his best game of the year, 10 catches, caught all the balls that came his way, 116 yards. So that means the next 3 weeks he'll be in the dumper. The guy I'm really upset about is Mike Evans. And maybe things would be different with Jameis Winston, whatever the heck his name is. I think Mike Evans and obviously DeSean Jackson are clearly benefiting from having a Yale, Harvard, Stanford.
Harvard. He's a Harvard. He's a Harvard guy.
Harvard.
Yeah. Grant. So when Jameis Winston when he comes back, if Fitzpatrick has a good game against the Steelers, that's his job. I mean, that's Fitzpatrick's job.
Right.
If he craps the bed against the Steelers, that will be interesting to see, you know, what they do there. But some other receivers that were extremely disappointing, and this just may be who they are. Robbie Anderson, Jameson Crowder, awful game, you know, 5-point game, 3-point game. I just don't expect, you know, Rishard Matthews, another one. Just that may be who they are this year. So
how about the guy we invested a little bit of money in last year, John Brown, having a good
he's the number one there.
Yeah, it's
not even close.
It's funny how we're always a year late. We were a year late on Devontae Adams and a year early on Devontae Adams and a year early on John Brown.
Yep, absolutely.
And then that one guy was like 4 years early and late on Mike Quick or whatever.
So I was going to say, we're still waiting on Mike Quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, love it. My mind went there too. But all right, hey, let's move on to tight end.
Yeah.
I'll go through my picks here. Jordan Reed was my stud. He had 9.5. Yeah, 9.5 points, which is he almost was as good as Josh Perkins, the third string tight end from Philly. And Ben Watson, who was my flyer, he was both of our flyer, and Jordan Reed was both of our stud. But Ben Watson wide open in the end zone, and Drew Brees with an uncharacteristic miss of him. That could have catapulted him into a great flyer week. And then my pooper was Trey Burton, who actually he had a touchdown, had a nice little game, 12.2 points in PPR. So
yeah,
I couldn't have been more wrong when it came to tight ends.
Yeah, yeah, same here. I had Will Disley was my beware. He also
he got three
catches, yeah. 40 yards and a touchdown. I was right. I was on the money. Antonio Gates did not have a catch.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Will Disley had a garbage time touchdown. So you were right. So then,
right. I'll take all garbage time guys all the time. Doesn't matter.
Yep. So, yeah, I guess guys to talk about here, obviously Jesse James has his second straight. You know, actually this game was his best career game. And week one, he had a decent game. He's going to be picked up in a lot of leagues. I think I don't expect that to stick. The other one I want to talk about, and kind of the guy that I've been behind all offseason, is O.J. Howard. He is doing, you know, he had 396 and a touchdown this week. Again, my whole thing for him is how efficient he was. In week one, he had two catches for 54 yards. This week, he has three catches for 96 yards and a touchdown. That is who he is. I mean, the only thing is you cannot count on that. If he had two targets in the first game, four in the second, you can't count on him doing that every game if that's the limited targets he's going to get. But you just figure, I mean, they've got to get him the ball more if he's been that efficient. Although, you know, so has DeSean Jackson.
Well, something's got to give in that offense. And
yeah.
They can't just keep – I mean, Fitzpatrick's not going to have 400 yards every week. There's got to have a week to where they take something away. And I would think DeSean Jackson's the first to go, or Mike Evans is the first to go, because they pose that many more yards. I feel like a defense can say, hey, let's risk the tight end catching it 10 yards and let's try to tackle him.
Yeah, let's not let DeSean Jackson beat us deep and middle of the field wide open. Yeah. But, you know, the impressive thing about that Tampa offense is they did it against two very good defenses, New Orleans and now Philly, who was historically good last year. So that's pretty impressive what Fitzpatrick's been able to do.
And if, you know, what's frustrating in the tight end position is Baltimore's tight end position is very good if you were to combine all of them as one tight end.
But
you don't really know. They all look the same. They're all big, white, and lumbering. And out in the field, until you see their name, you think your guy is the guy if you picked one of them. And if they would put one out there for a while, he'd probably get 7 or 8 catches rather than just 3. Retarded.
That is retarded.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else? Anything else you want to talk about? That's all we have for reviewing players this week. Our next episode, again, is going to be start-sit decisions. Again, our predictions for the week on who we think you should take flyers on, who are the studs and who are the duds. Do you have any trades that were proposed to you or that you're looking to propose this week? Any you're targeting?
I got the trade of the century. I got in the Dynasty League, a team that should remain nameless until you search the player that he offered, offered Leonard Fournette and a 4th-round pick for Juju Smith-Schuster. And my
Dynasty League.
In the Dynasty League, yeah. And my thought process, I mean, I think wide receivers, and we've talked about this before, are a little bit more valuable in this league just because of the longevity, especially good ones, not average, middle of the road. I mean, he picked my, second, best one, my second, wide receiver pick. So it's hard for me to then say, hey, let's just give up these points and for the next few years, for a Leonard Fournette, who doesn't stay on the field all the time. Is he good? Yes. But I have a hard time with that. I need a running back. I'd like a running back, but I can't give up, 15 to 25 points a game, depending upon the day, for a running back that may or may not play. I already have a couple of those, so it makes it hard. His offer to him was probably more equal than he thought, and I can't do it.
Right now, PPR League, Juju is tied for the number 4 receiver overall, so he is having himself a season.
Yeah, it's fantastic to watch. I love Juju's. My niece, Juliet, we've always called her Juju, and she lives in Cannonsburg, which is just south of Pittsburgh, so they love watching the Pittsburgh Steelers play when Juju gets the ball.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right.
Did you have any trades?
I that's a weird week. I don't think I did have any trades this week.
How many people did you offer? Like,
10? At least a dozen. Yeah. I've offered at least a dozen this week. I can't even get a counter offer. So
neither can Nuke.
Neither can Nuke. Yeah. Well, that's. I feel like mine are a little bit more reasonable than his, but.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Especially with his checks that bounce, he just. I'll give you this $20 check that will guarantee to bounce if you just give me some cigarettes and cash.
What a deal. All right. Hey, well, that's all for the Fancy Boys. We are signing off.
Oh, I'm tired. All right. I'm fading out.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app. Free for iOS and Android.